want to know how the Brewers are doing this. Don't tell me the starting pitching. I see the starting pitching. I see the pitching as a whole. I understand how they are keeping teams off the board. What I don't understand is how they are getting on the board. We talked with Sophia Minert yesterday on the show, and she reminded us that they've got three of their best offensive players right now not playing. Now, you're going to start to see him get back. Did I just see that Colton Wong is coming back?
Yeah, he will be activated for the Cubs series, which begins tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Brewers off today.
But you're still missing a couple of really good bats, and yet they're figuring it out. They're finding a way to score runs. And look, if you looked at that lineup, guys, and you just, like, naked eye, you'd go, I don't see a lot of production here. And yet they're 11-7.
We first talked about the Brewers, like, after the first week of the season, they were dead last in OPS. Not much better. They're 25th in OPS as a team, which, again, is on base plus slugging. It's a measure of, you know, how many times, you know, guys are getting on base and how many bases they're collecting. But they're 10th in runs. I don't understand. Yeah, like, those two things don't make sense. Chewy, that's like being in the 25th in yards, but somehow you're top 10 in points. Like, I don't understand it, man.
I know, but this happens in an NFL season where the defense has to pull out the offense for a couple of weeks. I mean, that's just where we're at. We knew that their lineup was going to be, I don't know if you want to call it the weak part.
No, it's 100% the weak part of the team. 100%. Especially when you look at the pitching and
right
now that Devin Williams is back.
Right now, the defense is bailing out the offense. That's all it is. And there's going to come a time, you know what, when pitching's going to struggle and the batters got to start putting runs together and they're going to start winning games 10-8. This is just, Gabe, you should know this. You're our resident baseball guy. This is just what happens in baseball.
I honestly don't know if they can score 10 runs in a game.
Like Ashton in the production meeting, was surprised that Jackie Bradley Jr. is hitting .212.
I was happy. I was thrilled. I thought it was less than that. Because every time I watch Jackie Bradley Jr. at the plate, and I said this when we saw him live a couple of weeks ago, he just looked lost. He didn't look like he had any idea what pitches were going. It's not like it was a – I don't think he's an unprepared guy. He just looked lost at the plate, which, look, I haven't watched nearly as much Jackie Bradley Jr. as you guys have, but that doesn't seem great for a guy that you have leading off.
That's just who he is, though. I mean, he was this with the Red Sox. I mean, he had – what was it, a World Series where he was unbelievable?
He wasn't even that unbelievable in an ALCS. He just hit three really clutch home runs. It's kind of like what the Brewers are doing. Like, he somehow won an ALCS with only three, MVP with only three hits, but there were three huge home runs. Like, the Brewers are winning games despite not doing that much offensively, but it's just enough. It's the clutch home run. It's the clutch hit. Because the offensive numbers still aren't good, but they're just finding a way to somehow get on the board.
Okay, but I guess I would argue, guys, that the Brewers certainly can put up 10 runs. I know you mentioned it a few minutes ago. Like, you'd be shocked if they put up 10 runs because baseball is dumb. Last night, the Chicago Cubs won 16-4 over the New York Mets. Chicago is dead last in the league in team average. And they put up 16 runs. Baseball is dumb. And, like, every time we dive into the numbers and try to figure out the nuance of it and try to figure out the rhyme or reason for anything, I think we just spin ourselves in circles.
Is it Omar Narvaez? Is Omar just carrying it?
How is this happening? This is where I keep going back to it. As I'm watching yesterday's game, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is the time where it actually starts to turn about. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second. Omar Narvaez once again hitting a clutch homer. How does this keep happening? All I did the last two seasons was say Omar Narvaez was not that good. He was not going to be a good catcher. He is not going to be good on offense. He's overrated, overpaid. There was a waste of his signing, and boom. Now he's just spitting in my face, which is great. But for me, my mind keeps going back to, when does the other shoe drop for him?
So basically, you are the guy from Purdue who sent Aaron Rodgers the letter saying good luck with your attempt at a professional career, and Omar Narvaez is Aaron Rodgers. You have incentivized
God, I don't
him.
Say
you are
that.
The chip on
no.
his
but
shoulder.
Isn't, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
Isn't this what you want in baseball? Because he's going to get cold, right? It just happens throughout a season.
Yeah.
You don't want everyone hitting unbelievably at the same time.
Well, no, but I also want what the Brewers are doing is not sustainable. Again, it's just not sustainable. You can't be 25th in OPS and top 10 in runs. Like, eventually, like, those clutch hits are just going to dry up. Omar Narvaez isn't going to keep hitting 396. Now, I think maybe he's turned a corner and it's going to be a good offensive season for him, but he's literally the only one above a 250 batting average. When you look at the on-base percentage and you look at the batting average of the top three guys in the lineup yesterday of Jackie Bradley Jr., Daniel Vogelbach, I know we all love Vogelbach. He hits home runs.
I know we all love Vogelbach. Where's your we there?
Was it let him finish his point?
We? No.
And then Avi Garcia. Like, they are all struggling hitting, and those are the top three in your lineup.
What's the only thing that matters? The only thing that matters. They're winning. Right? Oh. I mean, yes, if they continue this trend, they're not going to win for long. But I don't know. I don't. Sometimes you win a game 6-3.
Okay, but right? But again, if you thought coming into the series that the San Diego Padres are one of the best teams in one of the best teams in the National League, and the Brewers just swept them, that's got to give you confidence, right? That's got, even if they're doing it in an unorthodox manner, you got to go, hey, maybe we got something here.
Yeah,
you
know? They do. Yeah, but they also just lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates. Again, pointing to. Baseball is dumb. Like, you can't overemphasize any one series over another series. You just can't, like you can in football. Like, when the Packers lost to the Buccaneers and they lost by a ton, like, it was, ooh, man, there are some things you got to work on. Like, yeah, the Padres, you just beat the Padres, who are going to be a really good team this year. But I don't think you can overemphasize that, because around the corner, the Brewers could just lose 2 out of 3 to the Cubs, who, as you just mentioned, one of the worst offensive teams in baseball right now.
Here's my number one worry, and this it's one name, and it's Keston Hira, because we have not yet mentioned his name in a good or bad sense in this conversation over the last 10 minutes. I am legitimately worried that Keston Hira is not going to be a part of the Brewers' core. He might be on the roster,
really?
But I am legitimately worried that everything we saw 2 years ago, everything that we saw in spring training, even this year, that it's not sustainable, and I don't know why, because he is a good hitter, but his swing and miss rate, his strikeouts, like, he doesn't look comfortable up there.
Hasn't that always been the issue with Keston Hira, right?
I mean, it's also a product of Major League Baseball. Like, baseball, not everyone strikes out all the time, but he just doesn't look good.
Okay, but
there.
Let me ask you a question. Are you concerned about who they have behind him? Because that, to me right now, that's not an issue. Like, they slid him over to first base as kind of out of necessity. It wasn't like they wanted him at first base. It was like, just, we shifted the pieces around and you landed at first base. So if he ends up being out of the lineup, I feel like they've got enough on the roster to back that spot up.
But you need him for the future of your team. He needs to be, I mean, they've invested a lot of time in him. They invested a high draft pick in him. Like, this is one of the guys that needs to be, as Ashton mentioned, a core of your team. And once you've kind of had that taste, as he's had the second half of the season 2 years ago, all of last season, the beginning of this season, of Major League Baseball, like, you're in this interesting space, I should say, in terms of the mental side of the game. Because if you send him down to try to work this stuff out, I have no idea how he's going to respond to that. Like, that could just completely torpedo him, because now he's not in the big leagues anymore. It's just a dangerous thing if they decide that they have to send him down.
I think it's way too early. I know he doesn't get the Braun treatment, not the Braun, but the Yelich treatment, because Yelich was terrible last year. Looked lost. I know he's the former MVP, but we felt that we were just going to be able to ride it out and he'll be fine. It's way too early.
But I think the thing that makes people concerned, Shu, is all of last season, right? We're not talking about last year he was like lights out. It was 2019 that really he had the impressive rookie showing, and then it was like, and he'll get back to that. He's got to get back. It's almost like the guy at the casino who's like, well, I've been losing and losing and losing and losing, so I'm going to keep shoving the $10 into the machine because eventually I'm going to win.
And with Yelich, Yelich has a very long career of, I mean, not necessarily the home run history from when he was in Miami, but he was still an all-star type player. He was still a really good hitter in Miami, comes to Milwaukee. So the 1 year, clearly that 1 year, you know, sticks out as being, yeah, that's the aberration. We already know he's a good hitter. Where with Keston Hira, like, yeah, he had that good half of a season, but then last year didn't really play. Like, we don't know. We just don't know with Keston, because about half of his games have been really good and half of his games have been really bad. And it could go either way right now.
I think there's more to it. I think there's more to it with him essentially being demoted by them bringing in Wong. I mean, especially young players' psyches are so fragile, you know?
I don't think there's anything to that. He just wants to hit, man. Like, I'm telling you right now, as a baseball player, you don't care where you play defensively. Especially when you're someone like Keston here, you just want to hit. As long as you're in the lineup, you don't care where you are defensively. Like, he just wants to hit. And when he doesn't hit, that's the issue.
Ashton, how much longer are you going to go before you want to see him sent down to the alt training site?
I don't want to see that at all. That's
ever.
I don't.
So you would rather have him taking the at-bats in the pressure now. Situations at the major league level and potentially being that black hole in the lineup.
For sake of this argument, let's say June. Because I think that'll give him 200-something plate appearances. I think June I would feel more comfortable, at least on which side of the fence I'm going to be able to stand on.
What do you think, Gabe?
I feel like sending him down is such a risk, but at the same time, like putting him in the lineup, either have to put him in the lineup every day. You can't keep doing this, we'll play him once or twice a week, because that's not going to help him either. You're going to have to make a decision to either send him down or put him in the lineup every day and either deal with the black hole and then send him. But you just can't keep wading in waist deep. And they just signed D, I can't remember what name he's also going by now, Gordon. He's like got a
strange D.
Yeah,
D strange
Gordon.
Gordon. Yep.
Yes, I should be able to remember that because it's strange that he added the name, the word strange to his name. But they just added D Gordon on a minor league deal, so I don't know if that's some insurance potentially, but we'll have to wait and see about that.
Hera began yesterday, guys, with the third worst batting average among MLB's qualifying hitters, the fifth worst strikeout rate, and he is striking out a National League worst 34.6% last year. So we are talking about a long stretch of him struggling, and the Brewers are going to have to make a decision, whether it's we are sticking with him at the major league level, and we're going to recognize it may be a 0-0-0 in the lineup on a daily basis, or we're going to send him down to the alt training site and let him get some low-pressure at-bats, try to get things back in order, but that decision should come sooner rather than later.